Good evening, everybody, and welcome to the 53rd episode of Dr. Smith Live. We have a really, really fantastic information to share with you. It's actually going to be in a three-part series. The first part we're going to be talking about is tonight, and the second part we're going to get to it at December 16th, and the third part is January 6th. But before that, I just want to give a little housekeeping message. World Organization for Natural Medicine is offering their stewardship program starting January. It was January 11th. They pushed it off to January 24th, I believe. And it's 12 professors, 24 weeks. And it's a very powerful, comprehensive educational program that anyone who's looking to change professions or do something maybe additional to what they've been doing in their day job, becoming a nutritional consultant, you'll get a diploma certificate enabling you to counsel people. And the certificate you can use anywhere in the world. So, excuse me. It's really powerful program. I'm one of the professors. And the information that you'll be presented with, you're not going to find in the textbooks, you're not going to find in the universities, because this is a tried and true street smart education, the natural remedies that really work. So if you're interested, we're glad to have you on board, and be a good change in the direction of your life even. Anyway, so tonight really got a very exciting program. About 3 weeks ago, I think one of our students from Canada recommended that I do a program on body voltage. So I dusted off my Jerry Tennant book. I don't know if you've ever seen it, but it's called Healing is Voltage. And in fact, I called Jerry up, the author of the book, on Sunday, because he's a personal friend of mine, and thanked him again for his research and his wonderful book. I got so much more out of it the second time that I went through it, because, you know, it's, as you get older, you get more knowledge, and you actually start to understand the information that you start to read and apply clinically. So tonight's program is part one of a part three series, and we're going to be talking, you're going to be looking at three potential root causes for links to chronic fatigue and degenerative diseases. This is an area that traditional medicine, they don't even know that they don't know. And all they know is throw darts at the patient and more drugs and surgery and rock and roll. So we're going to be talking about low body voltage, toxic bowel, and acid pH. So the key to the universe, basically, as Nikola Tesla said, if you want to find the secrets of the universe, think in terms of energy, frequency, and vibration. So there's many causes for chronic fatigue and other degenerative diseases, and there's 10 major issues that must be evaluated as potential root causes. Low voltage, body voltage, toxic bowel, acid pH. In the second part, we're going to be focusing on hypothyroidism and hypoadrenia, which is weak adrenal glands. And the third part, in January 6th, 2022, I can't believe it, it's right around the corner. We're going to talk about heavy metal toxicity, EMFs, electromagnetic frequencies, nutritional deficiencies, parasites, and hypoxia or low oxygen. So it'll be a good three-part series, and you'll learn a whole lot of information. So low body voltage, pH, it's shorthand for potential hydrogen. It's really a measurement of voltage, very important concept to understand. Each specific pH reading represents a specific voltage. If the voltage reading shows a minus sign, it represents an electron stealer. If its reading is a minus sign, it represents an electron donor. Electron donor if it's a minus sign. If the voltage reading shows a plus, it represents an electron stealer. So cells are designed to run between a pH of 7.35 and 7.45. From a voltage perspective, the readings are minus 20 millivolts and minus 25 millivolts respectively. So the significance of this is that normal biological cells function as electron donors between minus 25 millivolts and minus 20 to 25 millivolts. So characteristics of an electron stealer versus an electron donor. An electron stealer has a pH range of 0 to 6.9. An electron donor has a range of pH of 7.1 to 14. An electron stealer causes damage to cells, organs, and tissues, whereas an electron donor stimulates healing and builds up for repair. An electron stealer is an acidic environment, whereas an electron donor creates an alkaline environment. Electron stealer has free radicals that it provides, whereas electron donor, you'll have antioxidants that are present. Electron stealer has a positive polarity, whereas an electron donor has a negative polarity. This chart is going to be up on the website by tomorrow midday, so you don't have to worry about writing all this stuff down. All the notes will be up there. And electron stealer causes destruction. It's kind of like cortisol, which is a catabolic hormone, tears your body down. So if you have electron stealers, it causes destruction of your body and ages you. As opposed to an electron donor, which gives off electrons, causes construction or building up of the body, repair. Electron stealer has a molecular spin to the left, whereas an electron donor has a spin to the right. So the takeaway message is that all diseases occur when you're acidic. So it's a really simple concept to understand. Give you a perfect example. I had a patient referred to me today, a 24-year-old female, chronic bladder infections and constant pain. I mean, this poor kid, 24/7 in constant pain. Her chief complaints, always in pain, nauseous, frequent vomiting, even if she would drink water, depression, anxiety, panic attacks, gains weight just by looking at food, insomnia, digestion issues, belching and burping after meals, muscle weakness requiring being in a wheelchair. This patient had several operations because of sphincter dysfunction in her stomach and the bladder, numerous prescribed drugs, antibiotics, especially pain meds. Upon my examination findings, she had an oral pH of 4.5. That's the lowest reading on my pH strip. Extremely acidic, which means very low oxygen and a very low pain threshold. So if she had a splinter in her, it literally would feel like someone stuck her with an ice pick when your pain threshold is down that low. So she also had glyphosate in her bladder and Pseudomonas aeruginosis infection in her bladder also. Conventional medicine is doing all the wrong things. They're treating the patient's symptoms with drugs that are making her more acidic. And not one doctor ever took a look at the patient's oral pH. I mean, medicine is broken, people. You know, just throwing drugs at you and surgery is ridiculous because you're not getting to the root cause of the problem. And the people are going down the slippery slope very quickly. So what this means is that all the diseases occur when your voltage is low or you have electron stealer. You're in the electron stealer state. In contrast, when the body's in an alkaline state, electrons are available for cell function and repair. So a free radical, it's a molecule that's missing electrons. When free radicals steal electrons from a cell, it damages the cell. Antioxidants are molecules that are capable of giving away electrons, which enable the normal cell function and for repair process. So salivary and urinary pH are about 8/10 of a pH unit less than the cell pH. Salivary pH is a rough indicator of your cellular pH, whereas urinary pH is a rough indicator of the voltage in the interstitial fluids. That's the fluids surrounding your cells. So when normal, both your pH readings should be 6.5. If you add 0.8 tenths of a unit to 6.5, you get 7.3, which equates to minus 20 millivolts, which is the normal pH and normal voltage that your cells should have. So if you're taking your pH and your 6.5, guess what? You're too acidic. You're going to get fermentation, more lactic acid, more tiredness, more degenerative diseases. That's how it works. And you're going to be open for the flu or whatever other variant that comes down the pike. So in order for new cells to occur, it requires a voltage of minus 50 millivolts and biophotons and scalar energy. That's how healing takes place. You get the scalar energy from eating raw foods and being out in the sun. Okay. Synthetic vitamins do not have biophotons. Cooked food do not have voltage or biophotons. It's dead food, which requires a lot of energy to process it and clean it out of your body. So this is achieved when you get trauma or injury to the tissues. The physiologic reactions that result are dilation of blood vessels to bring more blood and immune systems to the injured area, and a dumping of the raw materials such as your protein, carbohydrates, fats, vitamins and minerals, and biophotons, etc., into the injured area. Upon repair, the voltage drops back to minus 25 to minus 20 millivolts, which is a normal level. The pain experience, when you experience pain with injury or just pain without injury, it's caused by low voltage. So you can take all the pain medication you want, but you're not getting to the core issue of the problem. Raise the voltage and the pain will disappear. That's why the more alkaline you are, the more raw foods, dark green leafy vegetables, the higher your pain threshold, and you'll have less aches and pains in your joints. Chronic diseases and aging result when the voltage drops before the cells complete the repair process. So people that have wounds that will not heal, you know, chronic infections, invariably their voltage is low and they're way too acidic. So you could do all the fancy surgery and debridement and antibiotic salves and whatever. It's not solving the problem, people. At minus 10 millivolts, the cells can no longer replicate. The pain lingers and the inflammation continues. So in essence, chronic disease is defined as low voltage. All the allopathic medicines and all the fancy surgeries will not fix Humpty Dumpty. You basically have to raise the voltage to an order repair. Healing can only occur when the splinters or initiators are removed to strengthen the immune system. The cell membranes have to be restored with organic cold pressed omega-6, omega-3 oils, and real organic raw foods are eaten to supply the raw materials for the healing process. So, Jared, you can put up that chart that I emailed to you earlier. Thank you. So this is a chart in Jerry Tennant's book, Voltage, Healing is Voltage. And it says it all. When you get injured, your cell voltage in the cells are going to be minus 50 millivolts and your pH is going to be 7.88. That's how your body makes new cells. Children, their normal voltage is minus 35 millivolts and their pH is going to be 7.61. For adults, you're minus 25 to minus 20, you're going to have a pH of 7.44 to 7.35. That's normal for adults. If you have a chief complaint that you're feeling tired, guess what? You have a minus 15 millivolt reading and a pH of 7.26. So you can go to the pharmacy, buy pH paper, test yourself first thing in the morning and see where your pH reading is. And you'll know if you're going to have a good day or a tired day. And that should dictate the type of diet that you should be consuming to correct your pH imbalance. When you hit zero millivolts, you're going to have a pH of 7.09 or 7.0 rather, I'm sorry. And that's the neutral. And that's when your polarity changes. As your polarity transitions from minus millivolts to plus millivolts, your pH keeps dropping precipitously. When you get to a plus 30 millivolt, your pH is going to be 6.48, and that's when cancer develops. So This chart will also be up on the notes on ghsdoc.live. It's real simple. You don't have to be a rocket scientist to understand. pH tells you what the voltage is, and you can take your pH inexpensively in your home, and this way you can monitor, are you getting healthy or you're getting sicker, okay? So one of the key components to the disease process is corruption of the mitochondria. Your mitochondria are little Idaho potato organelles in the cell that produce energy, your ATP. So in my clinical experience, the most common issues that pollute your mitochondria are heavy metals, glyphosate, which is the herbicide Roundup, all kinds of chemicals, dioxins, whatever, are floating, PCBs, viruses, bacteria, mold, fungus, etc. We have at least a trillion pathogens floating in our body at all times. When your voltage drops down, you become too acidic. These little critters have a field day, and that's why you get sick. So again, when your mitochondria are polluted, it prevents energy production and availability of electrons to initiate the repair process. That's why you linger. In addition, as the voltage drops from minus 20 millivolts to plus 30 millivolts, the amount of oxygen in the interstitial fluids also drops, with the end result of hypoxia or low oxygen. 1931, Otto Warburg won a Nobel Prize in physiology because he discovered the cause of cancer. When your oxygen level drops down by 35%, you get fermentation in the cells. It's like making wine and beer. And the cells go haywire and start replicating, and you got cancer. There's no mystery to it. And that's why there's only one kind of cancer. There's not 101 different types of cancer. They're all the same. It just depends on what tissue the abnormalities of your voltage drops, and it takes on the characteristics of the ovaries or your prostate or breast cancer or your brain, because that's where the dysfunction occurs. So again, with the drop in oxygen, the 1 trillion microorganisms that lie dormant become activated. And they spew their contents out, especially the enzymes, which then enter your bloodstream, and they cause a myriad of damage, injury to heart valves, blood vessels, organs, tissues, whatever, your eyes, everything. The transition from healthy microorganisms to pathological forms is a result of hypoxia or low oxygen, decreased voltage, and a buildup of toxins. You remember in the 1860s, in my previous presentations, Anton Bechamp said that disease occurs because of the environment becomes toxic. The healthy cells transmutate into pathological forms, whereas Louis Pasteur was, the proponent of the germ theory. Unfortunately, he had more political influence than Bechamp, and the germ theory became standard medical dogma. But that's not reality. Your healthy bacteria transmutate to pathogenic forms when your voltage drops and become too acidic. Again, it's really, really important to get this simple, basic concept. So these organisms change from spherical to rod shape to yeast-like, and finally fungus and hyphae. Hyphae are long branching filamentous structures of the fungus, and it's the hyphae that are the main mode of vegetative growth. And there was a book, the cancers are caused by fungus, or fungus causes all cancers. The key and the component, the fungus is a result of the toxic environment in your body. That's why it's associated with cancer, but it's not the primary cause of cancer. It's just a reaction to a toxic environment in your body. So how do cells normally get voltage? So the earth is a large electromagnet. If your body is low in voltage, walking barefoot on the earth, and hopefully the bare earth is not sprayed with glyphosate and the other herbicides, especially in golf courses. But seriously, you can walk on the earth. It's called earthing, and enables your body to absorb electrons. Very important concept. Electrons always flow from a more dense area to a less dense. However, if you're wearing shoes, They act as insulators, and they're not going to absorb the electrons. So you have to walk barefooted. Pure natural alkaline water from the ground contains electrons. Alkalinized water made by a machine like the Kangen machine is done by adding hydroxyl-free radicals to the water. Hydroxyl-free radicals are the most reactive free radicals capable of degrading or degrading organic compounds. So in one sense, yes, it's breaking down organic compounds, but it's releasing a whole lot of toxic byproducts. So drinking pH water of 9, because it's loaded with hydroxyl radicals, from my clinical perspective, is not a healthy situation. You can take a ceramic magnet, put your water on the negative polarity of the ceramic magnet, and it'll increase the alkalinity of it. So you don't have to spend, you know, $1,200, $1,300, $1,500 on these special machines to get alkaline water. You can take a simple ceramic magnet and do the same thing. So when we place chlorine in our water, okay, in Germany, they don't use chlorine to purify the water. They use ozone. Why? It's real simple. Chlorine is toxic. And the reasons why it's toxic, it has a plus 1.36 millivolt rating. Fluoride has a 2.85 millivolt rating. So the more positive you become, the more acidic you become, and the more toxic. Again, by putting the chlorine and the fluoride in your water, it becomes an electron stealer and damages your body. One can easily test the water by placing a voltmeter into it. A minus reading will denote an electron donor, while a positive reading shows it to be an electron stealer. So voltage also holds true for raw foods and cooked foods. Eating raw foods has Hertz frequencies, like 29 rating. Cooked foods, canned foods, have a 0 Hertz rating. Plus, you're not getting any voltage from dead food. So the key is, the more alive your food is, the higher your voltage is, the healthier you're going to be. It's that simple, people. So one can energize your food by exposing it to the Bioptron with a hyperpolarized lens, and is made by Zepter, a Swiss company. Periodically, I take my food, put it under the light for 8 minutes. It re-energizes the food. The more energy, the more voltage you have, the healthier you're going to be. So exposing a voltmeter outside in the sun will show a higher reading compared to an indoor reading. Exercise is another major way of the body acquires electrons. Exercising creates electrons, and the movement of our muscles recharges our muscle batteries. Also, hugging a live tree or hugging a healthy person will shift the electrons into your body. But if you hug a sick person, you're also going to get low voltage. You're going to drain your battery. So fluoride, like I said, has a 2.85 positive reading, which is not healthy. Chlorine, 1.36. But when you get down to zinc, for example, which is great to fight viruses, it has a minus 0.76 voltage, which is good for healing. Magnesium has a minus 2.71 voltage. Calcium, a minus 2.89 voltage. Potassium, minus 2.99. So when you take these organic minerals in your collard greens, your celery, your Swiss chard, your bok choy, you're getting negative voltage, which helps heal the body. That's why these dark green leafy vegetables are good for you. Your grandmother was right. She just didn't know the scientific reason for it, but she was on the right track. Now, there's 10 common ways electrons are taken away from our body. Drinking water that's acidic, in other words, chlorinated, fluorinated, and bottled water. They're more acidic, and they're electron stealers. Drinking carbonated beverages. They acidify the water so they get more bubbles into it. That's why. Drinking caffeinated beverages. This Red Bull, I mean, you, after a couple cans of that stuff, you can levitate and walk across the Delaware River. Drinking alcohol. Eating cooked and microwave foods, eating processed foods, touching or hugging a person who has low voltage, someone who's sick. Healers or physicians who touch their patients actually lose electrons. So by the end of the day, if you're not healthy and you're a hands-on type healer, your battery's going to be drained. You know, 3As are not going to come out and charge up your battery. But you can do that by eating good, healthy, raw, organic vegetables. Being exposed to moving air, such as air conditioning, fans, riding in a convertible, and hair dryers will lower your electrons. And a parent who holds a sick child or pet will actually lose electrons. So how do our cells store the electrons like a battery? Very interesting concept. Our cell membranes are composed of opposing layers of fat cells called phospholipids. This unusual design reveals that fat is made up of a ball with two legs. The ball acts as a conductor, and the legs function as insulators. Anytime two conductors are separated by an insulator, you have an electronic device called a capacitor. Capacitors are designed to store electrons. In essence, the cell membranes serve as battery packs for the cells. So your body is designed for long life, but you got to keep that voltage up. Very, very important. And again, eating raw foods, going out in sunshine, exercising, increases your electrons. Exposing yourself to full spectrum light with a bioptron can recharge your batteries. The next area of discussion is going to be the toxic bowel. Intestinal toxemia is frequently found as the primary cause or contributing factor to the presence of many clinical phenomena such as fatigue, nervousness, gastritis, impaired nutrition, skin manifestations, endocrine disturbances, neurocirculatory problems, headaches, arthritis, heart irregularities, pathological changes in the breast, and many more. Intestinal toxemia is the process resulting from the formation of various toxic chemicals in the intestines by bacteria. Now, a diet high in protein, similar to the standard American diet, causes a predominance in the intestinal area of proteolytic putrefactive bacteria, which produce highly toxic compounds, some of which are absorbed, like hydrogen sulfide, for example. Okay, very toxic. These compounds are incompletely detoxified by your liver and therefore enter your systemic circulation, get to your organs, your brain, your tissues, everywhere. So a diet high in carbohydrates and low in protein result in non-putrefactive type of intestinal flora. Now, I don't advocate strict vegetarianism. We need some roadkill once in a while to supply us with nutrients, amino acids, and animal fats that you're not going to get from your vegetables. So after a change in diet from high protein to high carbohydrates, you're going to get an improvement in the spirits and activities were observed amongst test animals, which may safely be construed as showing a markedly improved sense of bodily and psychological well-being. So consumption of fermentable carbohydrates like pickled vegetables, fermented vegetables, will give you the glucose, fructose, and lactose, and it results in a delaying of the complete inhibition of the putrefactive process. So fermented vegetables reduce the putrefactive factor in causing disease. So resolution of intestinal toxemia. Food-grade diatomaceous earth. Week one, take 1 teaspoon of food-grade diatomaceous earth, mixed in 8 ounces of water taken first thing in the morning. And again, at the end of the week, increase that to 1 tablespoon and 12 ounces of water for the next 90 days. There's 3 primary functions of the diatomaceous earth. One, it scrapes the walls of your intestines, removing all this toxic mucus plaques and buildup. 2, it absorbs chemicals from your intestines and toxins. And 3, it lyses parasites. So it's a very inexpensive way cleaning out your intestines. Also, you want to take a good probiotic. The 3 that I strongly recommend basically is Prescriptacyst, Cocoon Drops, the second one, and Bravo Yogurt from Switzerland. Very healthy. The other thing you can do for detox is SCACT or the herbal seed that I put together, a formula of 16 different herbs in there. Again, you take 2 ounces of warm concentrate and 2 ounces of good warm water. So it's 4 ounces you're drinking about an hour before bedtime, and you do it for 12 weeks to literally detox your colon. After you clean out your colon for a good 15 days, 2 weeks, you want to take a Mimosa Pudica. That's M-I-M-O-S-A and Pudica, P-U-D-I-C-A. You can get it at Etsy, E-T-S-Y.com. It's an incredible herb that kills all parasites. It's like $36, and it's inexpensive. You can use the, like I said, the Herbal C and the Essiac Detox Tea for 15 days before starting the Mimosa capsules, and continue taking the Mimosa and the Herbal Detox together. You're going to help eliminate a whole lot of parasites. You'll be like a newborn baby. Now, the pH factor. There are two primary reasons why your body becomes acidic: respiratory acidosis and metabolic acidosis. Respiratory acidosis occurs when there's too much CO2 buildup in your body because the lungs cannot remove adequate amounts of carbon dioxide. Metabolic acidosis occurs when the kidneys cannot eliminate enough of the acid, or when you get rid of too much base or hydroxyl radicals. Respiratory acidosis. Some of the symptoms of respiratory acidosis include fatigue or drowsiness, becoming tired easily, confusion, shortness of breath, sleepiness, and headache. Metabolic acidosis. Some of the common symptoms are rapid and shallow breathing, confusion, fatigue, headache, sleepiness, lack of appetite, jaundice, increased heart rate, breath smells fruity, which is a sign of diabetic acidosis or ketoacidosis. So if you want more information regarding these two forms of acidosis, I recommend you go to healthline.com/health/acidosis. Again, all this information will be up on my website, ghsdoc.live, tomorrow, hopefully by midday. I send it over to my IT guy, Ronald, so it should be up there. Anyway, I thought this was an exciting topic. If any of you have any questions regarding this, I'd be more than happy to entertain them. If not, we could all go to bed early tonight. Where do you get the ceramic magnets? Online. I think years ago I bought it was like $65, and it's a magnet about this big, has a positive polarity and a negative polarity, and they mark the positive polarity, I think, with like red nail polish so you don't get confused. But positive polarity will make viruses and bacteria grow more rapidly, and you'll actually get sicker drinking water that has a positive charge to it. So you always want to drink negatively charged water. That's simple enough. How thankful we should be that people like Dr. Smith are spearheading against the system. Yeah, don't forget, when we jumble the letters of Delta and Omicron, we find media control. Absolutely. God bless you. Yeah, it's things are crazy out there. Electron recycler, would light cooking not sometimes help with the bioavailability, though? Yeah, if you steam it, then you're not destroying as many nutrients and the electrical component of the food. What about cooking pasteurized meats when referring to losing voltage? Yeah, anytime you cook food, you're going to lose voltage because you're destroying it. Again, if you have a bioptron light, you can expose your cooked food to regenerate it. Now, a good friend of mine up in Canada sent me photographs, very interesting, took a picture of an organic carrot, and with curly and with infrared, I think it was photography, or curly in photography, and it showed a beautiful energy pattern around the carrot. They then put the carrot in a microwave for, I don't know, 10 seconds, and when they took another curly in photograph, there was no energy pattern around it. It lost its aura. They then exposed the carrot to 10 minutes or 8 minutes on the bioptron, and it totally restored the energy back to the dead carrot. So the same thing will occur when you take your cooked food. It'll restore the energy to that food. So you know, that's one way of getting around it. See. Does fulvic and humic acid help with the voltage? Absolutely, 100%. Fulvic and humic, and it's humic, H-U-M-I-C, humic acid, helps to detox glyphosate. Also, the product that I use in my practice is from Mother Earth Labs. It has 74 micro and macro minerals in there, which help restore your trace minerals. Very, very important. Unfortunately, we don't get all our trace minerals in our foods. And this is why I advocate like Himalayan sea salt, because it has trace minerals in there. Very, very important for function of the body. Each organ of the body has an activating mineral. So for example, your thyroid, it's iodine. Okay, your adrenals, it's copper. Your pituitary gland, it's manganese. So every organ needs an activating mineral. And if you're not eating seaweeds or taking, you know, Mother Earth Labs pH balance or the gift, and you're not getting these vital nutrients, your endocrine system can function. Now, another very important component of this, there's a product called Indium Ease that we carry in our practice for our patients. Indium Ease is 49th in the periodic table of minerals. I take 3 drops every morning. Why? Because this patented process made it soluble. Indium is present in the diet, but it's totally insoluble. Indium sulfate, which is the patent form, literally opens up all your endocrine glands to absorb the trace minerals. Studies show that taking indium will extend your life, documented, not maybe if. So that's another reason why I take it. I want to be around till 350 or whatever I can get. So great question. Awesome topic. What about fever sores? Any quick fix? Yes. Sandy, all you got to do is take an infrared laser pointer and pulse it on the fever blister. That will increase the uptake of calcium into the cell, and it helps kill the virus. Fever blisters are indicative clinically of low calcium levels in your body. So taking calcium, you also have to take a diffuser with it, like organic oils, safflower, sunflower, walnut oil, avocado oil. They act as a diffuser, pushing the calcium into the cell, and that controls the virus. So fever blisters usually occur when trauma, or you're out in the sun, and the vitamin D that's produced will pull the calcium out of the cell, and then the virus, which is in there, manifests, and you get a fever blister. It's no big deal, but you can pulse the laser onto the area, and it'll take the stinging and itching away pretty quickly. Also on this topic, I just had a patient last week who had chronic severe pain down the back of his leg, almost like sciatic pain. And they went to the doctor and they couldn't figure it out. And with my test kit, he had shingles in the nerve. And the proof was, several days later, he came back. We had put him on the Rife machine and the homeopathic called HC cord. And he was too acidic, okay? So we put him on the pH balance. And he said, for the first time in 2 weeks, he slept through the night without pain. So I know my diagnostic system is very, very accurate. And if you use the appropriate treatment, in other words, define the splinter and then define what nutrients will counteract what you found, and less is more. You'll get faster results that way, as opposed to just shotgunning and throwing, a handful of supplements at people. Anyway, it's exciting. You know, medicine has no cure for shingles. See. Does inhaling Brown's gas help the voltage? I would think so. I've seen some information on Brown's gas. Very powerful. Very great for healing. Anytime you alkalize the body, which I'm sure Brown's gas probably does, you're going to increase the voltage. So great question. Thank you. Does ivermectin create a pH acid or alkaline environment to prevent the COVID illness? Apologies as it might not relate to the exact topic. Well, ivermectin is antiparasitic. So it's killing the virus. If you get rid of the toxicity from the pathogens, it helps to restore your alkalinity. I'll be honest with you, I've never tested the pH of ivermectin, so I can't give you an honest answer on that. But just physiologically, removing a toxin like the virus, and ivermectin is effective against 21 different viruses, removing that toxins and the toxic waste that they put out will help improve your alkalinity. So interesting questions. White flour is no good for you. How's rye bread? Well, any milled grains, rye, sesame, whatever, you're taking out the minerals and the oils. So that's why, you know, these processed breads or grains are not healthy for you, because it's too acidic and you're not getting the trace minerals and the oils in the grains. So that's what my feeling is. Does diatomaceous earth have any side effects? Well, great question. If you have a severe gastritis, I would strongly recommend not doing the diatomaceous earth until you heal up the gastritis. And you can do that with folic acid B12. Folic acid is from greens, or drinking green juices, wheatgrass juice, for example, or Granny Smith apples with celery, collard greens, that type of, to heal the folic acid, helps heal the lining in the stomach, reducing the gastritis. Glutamine is also an amino acid to help heal the lining. Once you get that healed up, then I would, you know, entertain using the diatomaceous earth. If you have an ulceration or the gastritis, the diatomaceous earth could aggravate that, because it is a mechanical scrubbing of the walls. So great question, John, and I'm sure everybody's going to benefit from that. Where can we find which minerals are needed by each organ? You'd have to go on the internet, just trying to remember the guy's name. It'll come to me. If I find it, I'll have him put it up on the website. But I had these notes from many, many years ago. It was a chiropractor who I think dug up this information. But yeah, it's amazing. Okay. You mentioned before that you and Stanley are working on a laser. Our target is going to be, I think, the end of January. The circuit boards are being printed as we speak. So interestingly, my first prototype laser I used on that patient, the 24-year-old female that had constant bladder pain, and I put the laser over the area for about 3 minutes, and then I put her on the scalar energy plasma field, and interestingly, she was able to stand for longer than 10 minutes, not being in a wheelchair, and that was instantaneous. It was amazing. So swimming in the ocean helped the voltage? Absolutely. Also, being by the ocean, you get negative charges from the ocean crashing on the rocks. But yeah, you're going to get, in fact, an acquaintance of mine, he would take his cancer patients scuba diving down the Florida Keys and take them down to like 90 feet. And then he would inject them with, I think, minerals or ozone. And under pressure, it's kind of like a chamber, you know, those high pressure chambers, drove the minerals deeper into the cells and to help reverse the cancer. You know, personally, you really don't have to go to that type of an extreme. Not everybody can scuba dive and go down to 90 feet. But yeah, being in the ocean, you're getting the trace minerals, and the minerals that are in the ocean are the same as in our interstitial fluid. So yes, the more electrons you have, the more energetic you're going to be, the more vibrant, the healthier you're going to be. It's what it's all about. Is spring water the type of water you drink? I am paranoid about my water. I have three filter systems. One is a whole house water filter system by Vitasalus. They're out of Detroit. You can look them up. It was $1,850 for the system plus the plumbing. I then take that water that runs through my whole house water filter system and I put it through an ADYA, A-D-Y-A, gravity filter. And then I take that water and put it through a 3¼-gallon Berkey filter. And then I drink it. Like I always say, if you don't filter your water, your organs will filter it. And that's why people get degenerative diseases and organ failure, because it's all sludged up with the garbage that's in the water supply. So spring water, again, it depends on the source. Anything to produce saliva in the mouth for dad? He's eating charms with sugar, garbage. Okay, if you have a dry mouth situation, physiologically, you're sympathetic dominant. That's why you're not producing the saliva. So the key in the equation is treat the cause. You got to calm down the sympathetic nervous system with magnesium and the minerals, okay, the trace minerals, okay? That's the best result. Also, taking cordyceps, it's an adaptogenic, meaning that if your adrenals are overworking, it'll bring it down into homeostasis or balance. If something's underfunctioning, it'll bring it up again to balance. So the key in the equation is treat the core issue, treat the splinter. And dry mouth is invariably sympathetic dominance. Magnesium, organic minerals. What's your opinion of fulvic minerals? They're wonderful. Basically, you need the fulvic because it helps to regenerate the body. There was a woman, trying to remember her name, Carrie, what the heck, I had her name somewhere. She had a glioblastoma in her brain, and her dad died from it like 3 years before she came down with it. And the key in the equation, she's on the internet. She's the biochemist that owns Mother Labs. Anyway, she went down to Mexico, met with the shaman. They turned her on to the fulvic and humic acid. And then being a biochemist, she was able to combine that with the trace minerals. And she reversed her glioblastoma, which is a deadly brain cancer. So yeah, fulvic acid, I take it periodically. I have it in a liquid form from Mother Earth. And can't hurt you, and it's definitely going to help maintain your alkalinity and your trace minerals for all your organs. Deuterium, a significant concern to mitochondria. Any heavy water, it's H3, I believe. Interesting. I've never tested it against the mitochondria, so I couldn't give you a firsthand, assessment on that. If deuterium is radioactive, anything radioactive can potentially harm mitochondria. But it's a great question, Chris, and I'm going to look it up, the deuterium and potential downside. So thanks for asking. See. Pine needle tea, does it have to be a specific variety? White pine needle tea, white pine needle. That's the ones that have like 5 little needles attached to one pedicle. So it's very common. Are all toxins positively charged? Usually. If so, that would mean that negative ion donors are what's needed to neutralize an illness, like vitamins. What disease are highly positively charged and what nutrients are highly negative charged? Clay. The clays, montmorillonite, bentonite are negatively charged and they act as a magnet pulling the positively charged toxins out of the body. So negatively charged donors that's electrons, antioxidants supply. That's why curcumin, glutathione, resveratrol, vitamin C, they have electron donors, antioxidants, and they counteract the free radicals. So yes, very important. Do you believe methylation pathways should be evaluated in chronic disease? Yeah, for people that have chronic issues and you're looking for underlying problems, definitely the methylation process, if you've got a problem with it, it's going to impede your absorption of your B12, and that can create serious health issues. Okay. Thank you, great teacher. Like to say the truth is simple. The closer you get to the truth, Sandy, the more simplistic the solution is. And just a note, I got a notice from World Organization of Natural Medicine. Those people that took the course initially, I believe they're offering it at a 50% discount to take it again if they want to take it. There's 12 professors this time, 24 weeks. So just throw that out there. Anyway, bottom line is, do we have any other questions? Thanks for watching. I really enjoyed it. I learned a lot myself doing the research, and I start using the pH more on a regular basis now again, because it's all part of the disease process. You can put the best vitamins, and that's why you have to really be careful. So if you take magnesium citrate, for example, you can actually create more an acid pH in the body. So you have to be careful of the vitamins that you take. Most people don't take this into consideration when they're prescribing supplements. So you got to be careful. Anyway, thank you so much for attending, and look forward to next week with the hypothyroidism, hypoadrenia. God bless you.